31 Sports.
Across 2 weeks of action,
the University of Nottingham versus Nottingham Trent in the 13th year of the Nottingham Varsity Series.
And the battle lines are drawn.
Can Azra save? He can!
What is in! Fantastic!
Hubbard puts up a three-point shot and he nails it.
We have officially won the American Football Varsity for the first time.
The University of Nottingham have won Varsity Futsal and they have won Varsity 2016.
All 33,000 students at the University of Nottingham, they know what this means.
Can the green and gold retain the series for a sixth year in a row?
From the 25th to the 30th of March and the 7th to the 14th of May, follow all the action right here on University Radio Nottingham.
This is Varsity 2017.
This is URN.
Hello and welcome to From the Gantry here on URN Sport, covering all that you need to know about the Nottingham Varsity Series 2017. My name is Joe Tanner. I'm joined in the studio today by Freddie Alcock, Jack Newman, Jeremy Dunn and Freddie Stewart. Now we'll be discussing the events from the football where the University of Nottingham lost both the games in that match to bring the score of the overall Varsity Series back to 11-7 after 2-0 and 1-0 defeats for the men and women at Meadow Lane. We'll also be discussing a little bit about the cricket, which was called off yesterday, and we'll also be previewing some of the encounters coming up in the final section of this Varsity Series. American football taking place very shortly today at Harvey Haddon, and also rugby union, men's and women's, down at Lady Bay tomorrow afternoon. But first, guys, we're going to kick things off with what happened at Meadow Lane on Thursday evening. Six defeats in a row for the University of Nottingham men's side, Freddie Stewart. You were presenting there, you were down there at Meadow Lane. Why do you think that is the case? Why has Meadow Lane become such as not a happy hunting ground for the green and gold?
Well, I don't know, Joe, but I think you've got to start off by saying I feel very sorry for all those fans that came out in force to watch both the men's and women's teams and didn't see a single goal for the green and gold all afternoon. It was a sorry day for them. Yeah, we've been poor at Meadow Lane in recent years, but I don't know what it was. We just started really, really poorly in the men's game. The first 30 minutes, we looked a completely different class to Trent. Trent were really all over us in all areas of the pitch. We just lost the first 45 minutes, tried in the second half to come back into it, played much better football and got round the back of them a few times, but really couldn't convert the chances, and we really lost that game in the first half.
Yeah, I suppose it's always annoying that the fact that, you know, football is obviously going to be one of the sports which everyone is going to turn out to want to see, and year upon year Trent just seemed to always beat us, really, and it's in, like you said, Freddie, no goals for us. That that really just sums up kind of the different and, well, the void in class between the two teams at the moment. And it's a shame because obviously it's at Meadow Lane, it's a professional football stadium, it's going to be somewhere where the players are going to enjoy just that experience and that moment, and then probably for us to keep going away defeated now is getting, well, it's getting really frustrating actually, to see that it's one of those sports that when it just rolls around, we know Trent at this point are going to have the advantage every time. Hopefully we can break this duck at some point, but
I think you have to wonder whether it is actually a mental thing after the last couple of years. I mean, we started poorly this year and we obviously went 3-0 down in the first 30 minutes last time out. Maybe it's the atmosphere, maybe it's the real Trent following they had was really fantastic and obviously made a lot of noise, made it hard for our guys out there. Big stadium, obviously, most of those players will never play in a stadium like that many times, and for a lot of those boys it's the last time they'll ever play in varsity. And also you have to remember they did have the chance to clinch the series with a win, and maybe that pressure just got to some of them.
I think Freddie makes a good point about the fans actually, and the fact that the Trent fans always seem to be more vocal at the big events. I think at the ice hockey, I think it was quite apparent that Nottingham Trent fans were maybe a bit more loud, a bit more supportive, a bit more passionate. When we were there at the basketball, I think it was a similar situation. And I think for Uniol's point of view, I think it was just as disappointing that we went behind so early on. Because if we hadn't done that, if we just got off to a good start, maybe 10 minutes in, not conceding a goal, just, you know, playing good football, getting settled into the match, maybe the URN fans would have been a bit more vocal in their support. But like we say, once that first goal went in, I think we all looked at each other, didn't we, from up there in the stands, and we all thought, OK, now this could get quite quite difficult, and at times quite embarrassing, to be honest, for Uniol. I mean, we can't fault them too much. I know they trained so hard all year for the match, and Trent are obviously a very, very good team, and in the second half they did improve quite a lot. Obviously missing the penalty was very, very unfortunate. It happens sometimes, and that, you know, nothing you can do about that. But in general, yeah, and I think the fans do make a big difference. You've got to give Trent credit for that to an extent. I know they can be quite rowdy, quite difficult at times. I know a flare went off, which we don't want to see, obviously, at football matches. But in general, you have got to give Trent credit, even though maybe being a bit disappointed from both our fans and players' point of view.
I mean, arguably, Nottingham Trent's away following of 2,000 is probably a lot more than Notts County's away followings have had down the Meadow Lane throughout this season in League Two. But nonetheless, it was a disappointing day for the Green and Gold with those two results. But yet, both teams, I thought, showed aspects of flair, the likes of Pete Rosman and Jack Knox going forward for the University of Nottingham, as well as Kayla Crett and Katie Gray for the women's team as well. Freddie, you were co-commentating on that women's match. There was a lot of spark about the women's team. I mean, they've done so well this season, unbeaten in their first two teams, top of their league, with their first team winning the league by a massive, massive margin. And yet, just one goalkeeping error really cost them.
Yeah, it was really disappointing, wasn't it? I mean, the girls have had such a great season. I think they've won 8, drawn 2, lost none, with a goal difference of plus 40. We all came into that stadium, didn't we, thinking we'd be seeing plenty of goals. We know that Jippy, obviously, she's a fantastic player. I think she plays for Albania, doesn't she?
Yeah.
It's what people say about
her.
She's
been in the Notts County reserves as well. I mean, before the club folded. But.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, that was a shame as well, the club folding. And that, you'd have thought, would have inspired the girls to put on a good performance. And to be fair, like we said, I thought the women in particular put on a really, really, really good performance. You mentioned Katie Gray. I thought she was absolutely fantastic, running up and down the pitch for Uniov up front. Jippy, like we said. But we just didn't take our chances, did we? We had so many chances, particularly in that second half. I think we hit the bar once, we hit the post once, and we were really, really on top. And I think we definitely deserved to at least have drawn that match, maybe even to have won it. And like you say, it's just a shame that one goalkeeping error, maybe a deflection on the shot from the Trent player. But in general, like, it's difficult for the girls, isn't it? You're playing such a big goal, and I think we saw the Trent goalkeeper actually make a lot more mistakes than the Union goalkeeper did. Unfortunately, the one mistake that mattered came from our goalkeeper, and that's just the way it is. But at the same time, you've got to give Trent credit as well. I think Newton was, for me, man of the match for Trent in the middle of the park. She was absolutely fantastic, and she came off, I think, after 80 minutes because she was so, so tired. But it's the way it is, isn't it? I mean, the girls, I think, still could be proud, even though they lost. They put in a great effort, so I can't, like, say anything too bad about them at all.
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at both results, and, you know, I wasn't there at the game, but listening to the commentary and watching the blog and stuff, it did sound like in the women's game we did have far more chances than Trent. And like you're saying, perhaps maybe it is a mental thing. Maybe the pressure just got to them. Maybe they weren't able to capitalise on their chances just because of that sort of niggling feeling in the back of their head. You know, we're at this big stadium. This is perhaps going to be, you know, playing on their mind a bit as well. And I think as well, in both games, when you look at it, Trent certainly over the last couple of years in both men's and women's football games have really came out. And in the first 5 minutes, really tried to put their mark on the game. You know, they really came out, grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck, and they really went all out attack, trying to get an early goal and really unsettle us. And I think that's so far is working out for them. I think it's, again, you know, I wouldn't say it's embarrassing, but it is slightly unfortunate the fact that when you look at the past varsity results in football, the probably one of the best performances that we've put in was when we had a IMS team have to be put forward, because obviously our men's football team got banned from playing in varsity, so we scrapped together an IMS varsity team, and we did lose, but we lost 2-1, and it was a very close game. And I think that's probably one of the best performances that I've seen from any varsity football game that has been played at Nottingham over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's leading for much proportions of that match back in 2015 as well. It has become such a unhappy hunting ground for the Green and Gold in both the men's and the women's. Freddie, what do you think really on the pitch? I mean, just to draw comparison with their Bucks season, of course, relegated from Premier North after a playoff against Nottingham Trent, which was a very, very narrow 1-0 defeat down at Highfields. I watched the game, and there was really, really not that much in it. The University of Nottingham played some great football, knocking the ball around. There wasn't that much of a crowd, and I think that possibly has got to be the defining factor upon the fact that we lost, and, you know, the fact that Trent brings such a following, who supports support their team so well, and the University of Nottingham just don't. I think that surely adds to it.
Yeah, as you said, Joe, we've played Trent a few times this season. They've all been pretty close matches, but on the day at Meadow Lane, the golfing class looked vast. And you have to say, what were the differences at Meadow Lane to wherever else? And you've got to say, yes, the fans make a huge difference. But I think, as well as the magnitude of the occasion, you've got to say the size of the pitch, I think, came into it. You see a lot of players, particularly in the second half, going down with cramp in the women's game as well. A lot of players struggling to cope with covering such a large area. And you've got to say Trent used it better. They had the width. They exploited the wide areas. They made Unioff run ragged, and it was really difficult for some of the players to get stuck into the game.
Yeah, well, just also on the point which you were saying about the crowd, even at the smaller events, which in this varsity series, which we probably weren't expecting as, you know, bigger crowd or attendance. For example, the netball that was, in all fairness, at Lee Westwood, so it was their home advantage, and they had a pretty decent crowd out there. They've also had a decent crowd for golf, which completely surprised me, to be honest. And yeah, Trent, do you always seem to bring, it has to be said, a stronger support? Except the only time that, I mean, Jack, you said to me yesterday, we thought that the crowd actually was more in Uniob's favour, was unfortunately the cricket yesterday, and they didn't get to see the full match, which was disappointing. But throughout most of this varsity series, Trent do appear to have the more vocal and also the larger crowds which they're able to pull in, which is really a bit disheartening, to be fair.
I guess then that kind of comes down to that theme running across throughout the varsity series, is the fact that it potentially means so much more to Trent because they invest so much more, they put in so much more effort into these bigger occasions that perhaps they win, like the men's basketball, the football as well down at Meadow Lane, and the ice hockey as well, which, you know, they've been victorious in previous years despite not winning the series overall. Do you think that's a fair reflection, Jeremy?
Yeah, I think it is, actually, because I spoke to a couple of Trent people that actually go straight and work in peace in this year's varsity before the series started, when we were just sort of getting a gauge of what their views were on it. And it was really interesting. They did make a big point about the fact that for the bigger occasions and these big, more high-profile games, like obviously the ice hockey, they can't really, because that's, like we talked about, that's Mavericks. But, I mean, with the football, the futsal as well, the basketball as well, all these kind of bigger ones, they do put a lot more emphasis in, and they are interesting. Trent's sort of opinion is they don't like the fact that these big sports actually count the same then as some of the smaller ones, because it's something that we naturally specialise in, because we do have more facilities and we have a larger pool where we actually have more people willing to go into them than Trent. They do struggle quite often to put teams together for some of these sports, and they get very they were very frustrated at the fact that, for example, I mean, Super Wednesday is kind of the answer to it, in my opinion, but they were frustrated that sort of some of their larger sports actually have now the same value and equivalent as a small one, which we're naturally more favourable towards. So it's, you know, swings and roundabouts really on that front, and it's kind of their probably counterbalance to our ability to have so much coverage.
Absolutely. Well, I think we'll leave our discussion on the football there back on Thursday, the 11th of May, moving swiftly on to matters of yesterday, where the cricket was due to be taking place down at Clifton Campus, despite weather conditions halting play in the sixth over, I believe. Jack and Jeremy, you went down to cover that, although coverage didn't quite materialise as we would have liked. But nonetheless, what did you make of those six few overs?
It was weird. I think the game should have been called off maybe an over or so earlier. I think, you know, the rain, you know, yesterday morning, you know, we were talking about whether or not it would go ahead, because it had started spitting just before play was due to go on. It did clear up, and it looked as if we were in for a good day to cricket. Trent won the toss and elected to bat first, so they got in. And in stark contrast to last year, where we only managed to take one wicket throughout the entire thing, we managed to pick up a very early wicket. And get them down to, I think it was at the time, somewhere in the third or fourth over, we had them down for about 30 runs for the loss of one, which in cricket isn't that bad going. It started raining, about midway through the third over? Yeah. And, you know, at the end of each over, you could see the umpires pulling the captains of each team together and having a discussion like, you know, are you guys happy to play in this condition and whatever. And the game did get eventually called off with 5.5 overs played. One point we thought it might be, obviously, with the weather cleared up, about half an hour, 45 minutes later, we had no news. Obviously, they were trying to get all of the moisture and stuff out of the outfield. They had men rushing on with the covers for the wicket. But, yeah, I mean, at one point we thought it maybe would have went for like a six-over game, which I think would have been very, very rogue for them to do in a varsity cricket match, especially when you've got these cricket teams who don't really play a lot throughout the year in terms of bucks. And, you know, to have them all getting themselves prepared and then it comes down to this and they're only ever going to be playing six overs. So I think that would have been a bit disappointing. We still don't know as of yet if they're going to get time to replay it, because I think Trent start their exam season on Monday. So obviously all of the players are going to be studying and stuff like that. So we're not sure. We don't think it will be replayed. I think it's just going to go down as maybe a draw, a point each, or just no points at all to either side, which then means mathematically that Trent obviously can't win varsity series, or they can't even draw varsity series this year. So it was interesting, but from those, like you say, from those first couple of overs, it looked right. It looked as if University of Nottingham were doing well. They managed to restrict them fairly well. I mean, there were a couple of boundaries towards the end, bowlers getting a bit looser with the balls that they were bowling, but yeah, I mean, it was all in all a fantastic performance. I mean, as I said, there's not really much you can say about it when you only have six overs to commentate on and only one side really gets into bat.
Just picking up on that point about the game potentially not being replayed, taking my Uni of Nottingham bias aside for a moment, I just feel that's quite unfair on Trent, to be honest. Like, yeah. I mean, you have the whole series build up and it was really close after the football, you know, in general all the Trent fans are going to be really happy, you know, they think maybe they can get back in the series, like potentially draw, even win it, who knows. And the fact that they can't play it, like, not in front of a crowd, you know, behind closed doors, whatever, just whenever all the players are free the next day or the week after, I just think that's a bit of a shame, and maybe they should look into that.
I think with something like that, though, it's very much neither side's fault. You know, neither side could have predicted that. You know, they had no control over the fact that varsity cricket was yesterday. They didn't have any say in that.
I mean, maybe that's happened. Maybe they need to look back at putting varsity series back to last term then or something.
Potentially.
Playing around exam period obviously isn't going to be helpful.
Of course, in previous years, the cricket fixture has been held in sort of early June, late May, aside from the usual block of fixtures in the varsity series, which is a more reliable factor on the basis of weather, because you can rely on more summer weather, theoretically speaking anyway. And it's kind of in the height of the cricket season for both the Bucks teams. You know, they're in the full flow of fixtures, so they have that kind of, their training regimes, their flow of fixtures under their belt that they go into the varsity series with.
And it is normally the last, one of the last fixtures in the varsity series. You know, it's a massive, massive build-up. By then, normally, you know, I don't think it has ever been decided on the final day at cricket, but, you know, there has been times where it's been seemingly won and it's just been like a massive hurrah for sport in general, and to have it called off is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, I completely agree with what Jack was saying. I mean, it was... The frustration was visible on the players. When the captains, actually for both teams, went out at the very end, we were left in the dark for a good 45 minutes, really. We got no information about what was going on. No one did, really, which was... kind of quite bad. I completely agree with Jack that they should have stopped it at the end of the fourth over, because by that point it was raining quite steadily, and the thing which kind of annoyed me a bit as a cricket fan is if you're going to then call a game off when it's raining, it turned into an absolute monsoon sort of by the end of the just at the very end of the fifth oh sorry at the very end of the sixth over, and that's obviously when they stopped it. But the problem was before then, it then just, by then the pitch was already had taken up quite a bit of water, and it was visible afterwards when they were having to quickly sweep it away. The outfield was flooded terribly, really, and the worst bit was the wicket. That by then would have already taken a lot of water, and there was no way at that point I thought they were going to be continuing with it, considering just how drenched it got. It did clear up, they did get the rollers out, they were trying to very quickly dry it all out, but I was saying to Jack throughout the whole time we're waiting that this just can't go ahead, surely, because the pitch was just in such a bad way. The players had been disrupting. When they finally got the opinion from the umpire, as they finally confirmed after pushing it back and back and back, 6 o'clock they said, okay, calling it off, match abandoned. The two captains, when they came off, they were in an absolute fury at it. I mean, the Trent captain, basically, I saw he just sort of stormed off into the dressing room, threw his hat off, basically, as he walked in, and they were all so disheartened at it. Mm. The crowd, I think, were
were and had kind of accepted it, because by that point, actually, most of the people were actually already on the outfield because it just sort of spilled out. It was actually quite sunny by that point. People were sort of standing there drinking beers, and it was okay at that point as a sort of occasion. I think people had sort of reluctantly accepted that the game was going to have to be called off, which was a shame, really. And it was such an, if it's not going to go ahead, that is such an anticlimactic way for us to win varsity.